Hey, thanks for joining us on the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. If you'd like more information on C3 Church, please visit myc3church.net. We hope you enjoy this message.
I got to tell you, I'm so thrilled to let you know, Pilgrims, our newest C3 music album is already here. The songs on this album are for our journey in Jesus. No matter where we are on that journey, in the valley or on the mountaintop, His love is unchanging, and so should our praise and worship be. Cannot wait for you to hear it. Head to iTunes or Google Play to download it today.
Oh, wow. So good to be with you this morning. What a beautiful, chilly Sydney morning it is. Did you notice that as you came down into Oxford Falls, into the Frost Hollow, how the temperature dropped a few degrees? But absolutely brilliant to be with you. Amanda and I just came back from having a two-week holiday, which was beautiful. One of those Blue Mountains holidays where you light fires, you read books. Every now and then you go for a bushwalk and you don't do a whole lot. Prior to that, though, you might have noticed that Amanda and I aren't here all that much. And I just want you to know that we are still following Jesus. And even though there has been reports of our demise, they've been greatly exaggerated. Indeed, it's the new position that Pastor Phil and Chris has given us as executive pastors, where we are giving attention to all of our locations around Sydney. So we're actually traveling less, but we're not here as much, because we now know the fastest way to get from the Northern Beaches to Penrith on a Sunday. We know the shortcuts to Bankstown and where the best Afghan food in Marylands can be found. We're getting a great feel for this city. But it's so exciting, guys, because I'm not talking there about different churches. That's our church in different locations, and a part of Pastor Phil and Chris's vision for our church to be accessible to everyone in this great city. So that's what we've been up to, just in case you've been wondering, where are they? We are just probably over the horizon, another part of this great city. But it is always, always, always a privilege and an honor to bring the word at Oxford Falls. This is our original location. It's out of Oxford Falls that Pastor Phil and Chris have started a movement with about 550 locations around the world. And as we are meeting today, about 100,000 people meeting in church. And this great vision for Sydney is coming out of this place. And so I would never, ever, and I just think how brilliant this location and the heroes over many years, decades, that have been a part of what this great church is doing here in this community, but as an influence and a motivation and an inspiration to churches all around the world. So Oxford Falls, I reckon let's give ourselves a hand this morning for being, you're sitting next to champions this morning that have influenced many. So we are in our On Purpose series. And this morning, right across Sydney, in fact, in all of our locations, we are looking at creating community. A huge, huge part of living on purpose. We, I believe, are only designed to be who God created us to be and to achieve what He's created us to achieve in connection with others. Would you agree with that? I think there's a whole lot of Bible behind that statement. We are not designed to do it as secret agents, not as lone rangers, not as I did it my way. It's only as we are in relationship with others. And in the church, it's with other believers together serving God. And this whole thing of creating community is such a powerful thing in the world in which we live, because we live in the most information available, if I would put it that way, electronically connected, informed by social media world. It's unprecedented. It's never been experienced before. And yet, disconnected world that has ever been seen. I was doing a little bit of reading about this, and right now in Australia, one in four Aussies is experiencing significant loneliness. Right, that's from a study done last year by the Red Cross. The United Kingdom has just established a government minister for loneliness. In Australia, there is a government task force looking at how to do something about this, because the loneliness comes with a whole lot of bad stuff that does not do people good. And yet, here are you and I, the house of God, the family of God. What we are good at, what we are bringing into this planet, is a place of community and connection. I just think it is so awesome when we look at the world around us, when we look into people's worlds and we look what is tough and what is missing, that we can go, hang on, I'm a part of the church. And this is what we're really good at. This is what we bring. We have got the answer. And this whole area of community is something that we can engage in vitally and bring an answer for. But for Christians, for believers, for followers of Christ, this whole thing of being connected, of being in relationship, of being in a community of people following Jesus, it is a whole lot more than avoiding the bad stuff of loneliness. I believe that I can only be who God has called Pat to be, and by the time I leave this planet, to have achieved what He wants me to achieve because of you, because of my connect group, because of people who will tap me on the shoulder and go, hey, Pat, I reckon that you could grow in this area, and I've given them permission to do it. Without that, I will be nowhere near the potential that God's put inside me. And so this is what we are looking at today. Could I get you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10? We'll look at verse 24 to 25. And just while we're looking there, let's pray. Father, we commit into your hands this time this morning, and we ask that you would anoint this word by the Holy Spirit, and that you would speak to each and every one of us. And no matter where we are at today with regard to feeling connected, whether we do not feel connected at all, Father, let this be a doorway into a great experience of community. Or if we are feeling well connected, anoint us to be someone who can reach out to others. Father, we pray that you would use this for kingdom purposes, for eternal purposes, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So let's look at this great, I've been reading Hebrews, and I just read this the other day, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Do you know how I get to be that person God's created me to be? It's because I've got others around me spurring me on. They're calling me further. They're not letting me settle down and take the easy route or the lazy route or the route that lacks courage. But they keep calling me to be who I've been created to be. And they spur, I love that term, they spur me on to love and the good works that God's created in advance for me to do. And where does that happen? Well, it says it right there, meeting together. Now, this year is the 40th year that I've been a Christ follower. I know, I don't look old enough for that. It's my 31st year that Amanda and I have been part of this great church. And one of the things that can happen is you follow Jesus and you kind of just get used to stuff that at first just caused you to walk around with your mouth open going, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. But you just get used to things. And one of the things you get used to is the gathering together. And sometimes we can go, oh yeah, been there, done that stuff. But what this scripture is spurring us on to is say, keep meeting together. Hey, not just less as time goes on, all the more. All the more as we continue to follow Jesus and we get closer to that time when He's going to return. all the more because as time goes on, I believe we need all the more spurring on to live that life of love and good deeds that He's called us to live. So, some of our experience, as I look back 40 years that we've been following Jesus, is it is an experience of all that time having dived into those contexts of small groups and community and fellowship. This goes way back before we were part of C3, when we went to St. Albans Anglican Church at French's Forest, and Amanda and I were leading the youth there. Now, Amanda didn't get to go to they were called cell groups at St. Albans, and she didn't get to go to a cell group because she was a youth leader. She dived straight into leading one. Right, just, oh, you're a youth leader. There's a whole bunch of people here that need a cell group and you lead one. And so Amanda started leading a year 9 girl cell group. And then it became year 10 cell group. And then it was the year 11 girls cell group. And then it was the year 12 girls cell group. And she still bumps into some of those women with families today. And they say, thank you for what was put in us during that time. Now, I didn't lead one. I wasn't quite as mature as Amanda. I went to one and was still sort of trying to figure things out. But I remember there was 2 guys in our cell group, a guy called Jeff and another guy called Clayton. And it seemed like any question I had as a young believer, they had an answer for. I since worked out that they had this thing called wisdom. It just blew me away. I go, guys, I've been reading the Bible. What's this mean? Good thing that you asked that, Pat. And they just expound it and it would make sense. And it made such an impact on my life as a young believer to have this intimate setting where I could ask questions and be supported. Now, when Amanda and I came to C3, it was called Christian City Church back in the day, before we even came to Sunday services, we joined a house church, as they were known. And so we did a little bit of research and we thought Greg and Julie French's house church would be a cool one to go to. Let's go to that. So we were living at North Manly, but every week we'd go up to Newport. And it was brilliant. It was pretty big. There was a whole lot of people in that room. It was weekly. And the brilliant thing about it was in all of the 31 years of being a part of this church, we've never felt like we just rock up to a service and don't know anyone. In 31 years, we've always felt like we're a part of a crew where we have relationship. And it's because of that. What happened while we were there? Well, we met people and they became friends. Not immediately, but a way lot quicker than if we were just coming to a service. So much faster. So many things happened there. I learned how to prophesy. Amazing. That's what happens when you're with Greg French. So, no, I'm trained as a scientist and I was already baptized in the Holy Spirit and I wanted to learn how to see in the Holy Spirit. And so I was into it, but for me, it's okay. I've got to do my research, read 3 books, check a few things out, weigh the pros and cons. And Greg just bypassed all of that. We're worshiping and he goes, Pat, you've got a word for someone here. And I went, no, I don't. And he goes, yeah, you do. Close your eyes. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit. And I went, oh, okay. And I saw this picture of a wall of bricks with some bricks missing. And I said, Greg, I see a picture of a wall of bricks and some bricks missing. And he goes, well, what you do now is you ask God what it means. Oh, okay. And I went, oh, who's it for? And he goes, God will tell you that too. Okay. And I saw one of the people in that connect group, in the house church as we called it then. And I can't even remember what the word was, but something about God seeing something missing. And someone else said, I can see the same thing for that person as well. Confirmation. And so I've just found so many things of me learning of being in this small setting. And then over the years, we started to lead our own connect groups and we had discipleship groups. I'm happy to report that 2 months ago, I started again a connect group that meets with men every 2 weeks on a Monday night. I've dived back in and we're doing this beautiful regular thing again of connect group. There's one of my connect group members right there, Mark Broadhead. It's great doing connect group with Mark because Mark is absolutely an outstanding Bible teacher. So I usually get him to bring something, I take notes, and then I preach it all around the world. And occasionally I give him recognition for that too. So, experiencing the church as community, how do we do this? How do we do this so that we just feel so connected and part of a family? Let's have a look how they did it to start in the book of Acts. Acts 2, 46 and 47 gives us a really powerful pattern. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, right? Temple courts, note that. They broke bread in their homes. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, eating together, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, I believe if I can give you a condensed doctrine of the church this morning, right? Everybody up for a bit of applied ecclesiology, right? You don't even have to go to C3 College and you're getting the real deal right here. The church gathers in big settings, the temple courts. And when it gathers in big settings, that's where the word is proclaimed. It's where we have, like this morning, world-class worship, where together we praise and we worship and we spur one another on as we worship together. When we meet in the big setting, we pray together. When we meet in the big setting, we give sacrificially so that we can achieve the God purpose He has given us together. We do all these things together. We give people opportunity to meet Jesus in the big setting. But there's also a whole lot of church stuff that happens in the smaller setting. That's where relationship is built. That is where discussions happen. That's where encouragement goes on. That's where the word is not just preached, but discussed. That's where this thing called fellowship happens, right? Keep that one just here because we're going to dive into that. And fellowship happens in that small setting. And then the church doesn't just happen when you gather. The church then happens as we scatter, right? So the church gathers and we get full of Jesus and people can see Him in us. And then when we go to work and we are being salt and light, then people see Christ in us because we're encouraged. We're doing well. People are praying for us. We don't just go to work, God forbid. Why would we just go to work? We go on purpose and our connect group is praying for us that people would see Jesus in us and will say, what is it about you? Glad you asked. I know Jesus and He's awesome. And you can too. And so this is how God designed this incredible thing called the church to gather in the large group, gather in the small group, and then go and take, by the power of Christ in us, Jesus into our neighborhood, to our chat over the back fence, to our neighbor, to the marketplace and the places that we are working. So let's have a look then at this thing. You know how I said fellowship? Okay, let's bring it now front and center. What is this stuff called fellowship? Because I believe fellowship is the glue of the community of the saints. It's the stuff that holds us together. It's a really cool Greek word. Some people call it koinonia, others koinonia. We can still be friends, even if we do pronounce it differently. It's a wonderful word, and what it does is it holds our community together. Look what it says, Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. All right? We get that? There's a place, the larger setting, where there's proclamation. Got to have it. And to the koinonia, to the breaking of bread. That sounds like having a meal together in an intimate setting. and to prayer. They devoted themselves to the big setting, but also to the small. Devoted means that they were steadfastly attentive. Steadfastly attentive. It wasn't, that's nice for some. It was, this is an essential for me to be who God's created me to be. So what is this fellowship? What is this koinonia? Communion by intimate participation. That's a pretty good definition, isn't it? Intimate means, well, we're kind of getting in each other's worlds. We get to know each other. We're building relationship. We're building trust. We're building things to the point where we can encourage one another and hold each other up. So where is the setting in church life where that happens in its greatest, most powerful form? Well, I've experienced it was once called cell group when I was at St. Albans, and then it was house church. And these days we call them connect groups. That is the place where it mostly happens. It also happens on serving teams, but those serving teams that really hang in there together and also have fellowship as a part of their serving team. But mostly it happens in connect groups. This is what I've experienced in my connect group experience over 31 years here, that is an extraordinary part of my church experience with God. I find that in connect group, relationship and a sense of community is at its most powerful. I find that in connect group, that's where we pray. Now, we prayed this morning and it's powerful corporate prayer, but I've got a place where I can go, hey guys, facing a tough one. And they'll go, okay, Pat, let's believe Jesus. You're getting through this, man. You're going to get to the other side. And we pray for each other. I experience the word. Now, this morning, you might have a question about what I'm saying, and it's not really appropriate for you to go, Pat, excuse me, hang on everyone, excuse me. Pat, what did you mean by, it's not appropriate for the big setting? But that's exactly what you do in Connect Group. Because it's not the word proclaimed, it's the word discussed and applied. And that's where we do it. And when the revelator, Mark Broadhead's bringing a word, then it just does you good. We also have encouragement. Anybody here need encouragement? Every hand. When you live long enough on this planet, you soon discover that there is always something tough on the horizon of life. There's always an unresolved situation. There's always something, if you look at it through natural eyes, could do you in, get you in the neck, not work out well. And often you don't even have to have the answer that someone who says, Pat, I'm praying for you and you're gonna make it. And you just go, yeah, I agree with that. We're gonna do okay. And what happens is you do make it. And that thing doesn't take you out. It just becomes a part of your story. And that's what happens in Connect Group. Okay, here's a big one here. Accountability. Ooh, okay, now we're talking. Because accountability means that you've built enough relationship to have trust. And you allow someone to tap you on the shoulder and go, you know what? I reckon that if you did this, you could really grow in this area. And you don't get all defensive and prickly. You go, I'm up for it. Thank you. That's done me good. Accountability. The exercise of gifts. I told you before how I learnt how to see in the spirit under the tutelage of Greg French. Discipleship. Every person in this place today is called without a shadow of a doubt. It is biblical to be a disciple and a disciple maker. And Connect Group is the place where that really happens. And the development of leadership and ministry happens in its most powerful beginning form in a Connect Group. I thank God that I got to lead in Connect Group, because when I started to be a pastor and do all these things later, it was my formation. It was my growth. It was the foundation. Pastoral care has its first context in our church in Connect Group. It's the first context is there. Think about it. It's kind of strange to think that a church should set up the department for care. And someone's doing it a bit tough. And you go, okay, you're doing it tough. Let's get on the line and call the church's department to care for you. When we're in a connect group and someone's doing it tough, it's the connect group that brings around the food. And it's the connect group that prays. And it's the connect group that does the visit. And when we do that, there is no limit to how large and caring and powerful this church can be. It is the first place, the first context of care. Connect group is where the 64, yes, I counted them all, the 64 verses that talk about one and other stuff in the Bible, the place where that happens is in connect group. Care for one another, love one another, bear one another's burdens, encourage one another. There's 64 of them. That's where the relationship is at a point where you actually get to do those. Now, do you get to do that in other parts of church life? Of course, yes, agreed. But where it all happens is in that place of connect. Psalm 68:6 tells us that God sets the solitary in families. And if there is any cry in this world today, this world that at the push of a button on that mobile device is connected to information, that can see what's happening in someone else's world, but it often doesn't do us good because we compare our world to their showreel, that you and I can be part of a God family is perhaps one of the most profound, powerful, and impacting things in our life. The thing about family is you don't attend family. Anyone ever tried that? You're at a family gathering and someone says, okay, guys, we're just gonna clear up in here. I'm not clearing up, just attending. With family, of course, there's family responsibility. But then you get all the joy of family, the relationships of family. Now, do you see everybody in your family as being perfect? Probably not, because you've got to know them over the years. But hang on, we're family. And that's what it's like with church. The more you get to know me, the more you'll get to see my humanity. But when we're family, well, we just bear with one another in love. And we keep on doing what we got to do to stay in community because we know we'll be at our best in that community. Amen. So if this is such a big deal, how do we stay in community? How do we stay in connection? Because I'll tell you something. If this is such a profound part of who we've been created to be, you know, our Creator is in His very being community. God is one, but God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who are in relationship with each other and love each other. God is community and has created us to be like Him and to only function effectively in community. There is so much good stuff that happens in us when we're in community and so much that is not great when we're disconnected that I've got to tell you that our enemy will do whatever he can to dislocate us. He will use all manner of things, misunderstandings, a word that's spoken that in midair gets twisted and is received differently to what it was intended, offense, real or imagined, doesn't matter. They are all really effective areas where the enemy comes to dislocate us from community. So how do we keep on keeping on? Let's have a look at this psalm. Psalm 92, verse 12 to 14. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted, everyone say planted. Planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He's my rock. There's no wickedness in Him. You know what? I love when I see long-term journeys. You know, I look at people like the Coopers or the Southwells or the Trestrails. And between them, they've been in this church 750 years. I love long-term fruitfulness, where you see people, they've been in our church, they've been in relationship with Jesus for a long term, but these words here, flourish, bearing fruit. And when you know people long enough, you know that some seasons are tough, some seasons are great. These guys bear fruit, whether it's tough, whether it's great. And it all comes down to that thing, planted. Planted. See, when we're planted, there's these things called roots and they go deep. And someone who's planted has got deep roots in relationships and deep roots in commitment. The roots are deep. Now, when I was at college, actually, I've got this in my pocket. Some years ago, I had a young man come up to me and say, Pastor Pat, I've got a gift for you. I said, oh, that's kind. What's that? He goes, here it is. Now, this guy was a Lebanese guy, really proud of his heritage. And he goes, Pastor Pat, and he hands me this key ring. And I said, that's a lovely key ring. He says, that's not just a key ring. That is made out of the most beautiful tree in the world. And I went, oh, what is it? And he goes, Pastor Pat, it's a cedar of Lebanon. And he goes, smell it. I went, oh, that's nice. That's not just nice. That is beautiful. And it's from the most beautiful tree in the world. And I love nationalities that are really proud of their country. But he's right. The reason why the Bible talks about cedars of Lebanon in such glowing terms is they are a remarkable tree. I've got a photo of one for you just up here. Look at that. Now, I think when we want to look at our life flourishing, that's a pretty cool tree to look at, isn't it? It's large. It's got leaves everywhere. The birds could come and perch in its branches. Fruitfulness. And yet, not all cedars of Lebanon around the world look like that. They could look like this next photo. Now, it looks nice, but the fruitfulness, the largeness, the potential, indeed, of course, we know we're looking at a plant that has been bonsaied. And to bonsai a plant, you contain and you prune the roots. And the thing is that we as believers can do exactly that thing. And we can do it for reasons that I am not in any way diminishing. They're real deals. But we can't let them define us and our connection into community. Maybe we've been hurt in relationship. Maybe we were hurt at church once. Maybe we trusted, okay, let's go to a leader that's pretty full on. We trusted a leader and we got hurt. And we might have said one of those things you say at those times, a vow. I'll never, whatever. And then we find that as life goes on, maybe we're thinking, I would like to connect, I would like to trust, but we can't. And the thing is, because we pronounce in our words of power, a vow that needs to be broken so that we can trust people again and come back into connection and community and to all that God's created us to be. I want to encourage you, if you have been a pot plant Christian and it's felt safe having your pot, and you think, if someone hurts me, I'll just pick up my pot and I'll go over here. To do what it takes, and we're going to pray for people this morning so that we're able to engage again in relationships of trust. And all of the body stuff, the koinonia that God designed to bless us can come back through those relationships, and that we're able to put those roots deep. And that they're deep in fellowship, they're deep in commitment, they're deep in relationship, and we begin to experience all of that. So as I finish this morning, let me encourage you. If you are currently not in a setting where all of that koinonia can occur, maybe you've experienced the big setting and it's awesome. I wouldn't miss what happens, the encouragement and the corporate prayer and everything that happens in this. I wouldn't miss it for 1 week. I need it. I've got to be encouraged weekly by the word proclaimed and that worship experience so that I can do what God's called me to do. But I want to encourage you to seek out that smaller setting as well. That when we're facing the tough ones, someone's praying for us. That when we're going to our work on mission, someone's saying, standing with you. When we're praying for someone in our world to become a Christian and to know Jesus, there's others who are saying yes and amen. And that today at the Next Step Bar, you can make an inquiry, find out time, place for you, and begin to experience what it's like to have that fellowship, to be like a tree. Sometimes there's times of drought, but when the roots are deep, you still bear fruit. When the roots are deep, you still flourish.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, "How shall I go unless somebody send them?" And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.